2 Samuel chapter 4. Keep your finger right there and flip open Romans 12, please. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Very, very famous verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and 2 Samuel chapter 4. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed into the, by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And back to the 2 Samuel, chapter 4. Now, when we just read this first and second verse of Romans chapter 12, we find out that there is a perfect will of God and there is some different thing. And what would that be? That's another thing we find is a conditional promise. What's a conditional promise? Is that if we do first something, then we will get something else. What is the first thing that it demands us to do? Is that if we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and which is a reasonable service, if we present our bodies and our soul and all of us, everything in us, everything with us, to God, then He will reveal His perfect will to us. So if we do first thing first, then He will give us His will for us. Little Jonathan was asked by mom, "Jonathan, are you hungry?" And Jonathan asked mom, "What are you cooking?" So in other words, if it's broccoli, he's not hungry for now. But if it's ice cream, he's starving. What I meant is, see, we want to know what God has for us before we commit ourselves to God. We want to know what kind of thing we are getting into. However, God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to jump right headlong into His presence and with a simple faith. Come to Him. He will take care of the rest. So that is a conditional promise that we have to follow. There is no other way around. The section we are going to study is chapter 4 and chapter 5. Lord willing, we'll study both chapters. We'll find out that somebody who is trying to do their own thing and David trying to do God's thing. The section of this portion in 2 Samuel is often ignored. A lot of people jump right into chapter 6 and start to teach. However, being a student of inductive Bible study and expository study, which means going from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, book to book, we cannot ignore the chapter 1 through chapter 5, go right into chapter 6, because there is more meat. However, if we study hard enough, we can find the treasure in chapter 5 and chapter 4. Seems like it. So what? It's just dumb history. It's not. I find the two things. Number one, we find the genealogy of Jesus Christ that showing to us that He is rightful heir of the throne of God and throne of a Jewish king. And second thing I find is it gives us an example for us to understand, if give us an example not to do. Just because it's written in the Bible, that doesn't mean we should go out and do as is. For example, Judas go out, hung himself. So are you going to go out, hang yourself? Our mother said, if somebody jump off your friend jump off your cliff, what she say? You going to jump off too? No, that's not what we... There's a good example, there's a bad example for us to know. Good example, we should follow. Bad example, we should not follow. This is a case in point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now these things mentioned in the Old Testament happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts open, our Bibles open to receive your word. So that even though it's seemingly an important portion of the 2 Samuel, but you put these two chapters in there for us to learn, for us to know about Jesus more intimately. Teach us. Guide us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 4 of verse 1, we find the murder of the puppet king Ishbosheth. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost his heart and all Israel was troubled. Now the Saul's son had two men who were captains of the troops. The name of one was Baana and the name of the other Rechab. The sons of Rimmon and the Beerothrite of the children of Benjamin for the Beeroth also was a part of Benjamin because the Beerothites fled to Gethaim and have been a sojourner there until this day. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame at his feet. He was 5 years old when the news was about Saul, and Jonathan came to Jezreel. His nurse took him up and fled, and it happened as she made haste to flee, he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. When Ishbosheth heard Abner's death, all of a sudden he realized he's in trouble and he realized his day is numbered. Why? Because this man became a king by man. Not by God's will, by man's will. So what kind of thing can we learn from this? If we depend on man's program, man's word, that person may not come through. That person may drop dead just like Abner. So the situation is if we're depending on the things that are done by man, it will fall. It will stop. Or it may not go on. How many of you guys understand corporate America and somebody come in, a new vice president come in, everything get changed. All the project that was going on just fine and all of a sudden screeching halt and stop, and he come up with his own pet project, with his own pet managers. And when the vice president jump off with a golden parachute, guess what? Another vice president comes with a pet project. It's the same project, different name, with a different face. That's all. This is typical. And so we cannot depend on the human being, but we can depend on God because he's faithful. This is when we make a frequent spiritual mistake that we depend on people more than depend on God. Mephibosheth was the last male descendant of Saul's family, so he has a strong legal claim to be on the throne of the Israel kingdom. However, Jonathan made a covenant with David, and David made a covenant with Jonathan that he will protect his descendant. And he was now, at this time, he's 7 years old. Remember, David was reigning in Hebron for 7.5 years. So when he was injured, that was 5 years old. So he's about 12.5 years old. We note that he's lame, and we're going to talk about his story, which is one of the most beautiful stories, talking about the grace of God, mercy of God, through this Mephibosheth and David. In chapter 9. So we'll just put away and we'll deal with that later. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Then the son of Reuben, Beerothites, Rechab, and Baana set out, came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who was lying on his bed at noon. And they came there and all the way into the house as though to get wheat. They stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom. Then they struck him and killed him, beheaded him, took his head. Nice guys, right? Well, all night escaping through the plain. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at the Hebron and said to the king, "Here's the head of the Ishbosheth, son of the Saul, your enemy, who sought your life, and the Lord has underlined, the Lord has avenged you, my Lord, the king." Underline that, please. "This day of the Saul and his descendant." See, the midday siesta was not uncommon this part area of the world, because this what I was told is Israel is about same weathers like here. So it can be quite hot. So, you know, king doesn't have anything better to do. He doesn't have to check out the internet. So he went to bed. He's taking a nap around noontime. So I think this is a real truth. And, you know, there's a thing say, you snooze, you lose. That happened. Abner's death left a power vacuum in northern kingdom Israel. So there's two opportunities, the Rechab and the Baana, who want to take a chance and want to take charge of the kingdom, and they want to do whatever they have to do, and might as well make the best of it, kill this Ishbosheth and take the head as a proof to King David. I'm sure he will reward them very handsomely, like maybe he will make them general. See, note this thing. I actually underlined the Lord has avenged my Lord's king. A lot of times people, remember this, some people who will use spiritual language to cover up their sins or to prove that they are right or to get their ways or to justify their wrong things. Just because somebody is using spiritual jargon, that doesn't mean they are a spiritual person. They're just using it. I learned that very early time of my Christian walk with Christ, and we were involved with the home mission church in downtown Tucson, where a lot of homeless people hang around. Some of the homeless people, to your surprise, they can quote the verses. Really can quote the verses with a King James, thee and thou, that kind of thing. And I'm standing in front of them, it's like, wow, I'm standing in the presence of the dean of the seminary. They know the word, but do they apply? They don't. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to apply. It's one thing to use a spiritual language, yet not live according to it. Let's go to verse 9. We find that blood demands blood. David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the son of Rimmon and Beerothite, and said to them, "As the Lord lived, who has redeemed my life from the old adversity, when someone told me, saying, 'Look, Saul is dead,' and thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and had him executed in Ziklag. The one who thought that I would give him a reward for his news. How much more when the wicked man have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed? Therefore, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth?" So David commanded his young men, and they executed him, cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them by the pool in the Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. It looks like we're watching the R-rated movie here. Rechab and Baana thought that David would give them a reward. But one thing they underestimated is the royalty of David for God and for the house of Saul. See, David made a pledge with Jonathan that he will protect his Jonathan's descendant. These two guys, Baana and Rechab, they are not soldiers who are fighting with King David, but they are just simple murderers, they are simple opportunists who deserve the right judgment. David would not accept evil deed for the sake of his own purpose. I mean, he could have a united kingdom right away, because this king is gone. However, he wouldn't accept that. See, listen carefully, please. While it is true that God overruled all the actions of man, compelled them ultimately to serve his high purpose, is equally true that no servant of his can ever consent to do evil that a good may come. What I'm saying is, just because somebody, or we try to justify our wrongdoing under the name of glory of God, that doesn't mean God will wink at it. I made an example last week. Some of you were not here, so I'll make the same example. If I'm going to do the drug run to the border, so I can give 20%, not even tithe, I mean 20% to the church for the building fund, would God accept that? No. Why? Because that's wrong. That's the wrong thing to do. Just because we have a good reason, or good, actually, that's not a good reason. That, in my opinion, that's nothing more than excuse to do the wrong things, trying to justify our wrong behavior and wrong thought. So it doesn't matter how we cover up, how we try to make it more spiritual or holy or pious, God does not accept. Why? Because He sees the motive in us. Some people may not understand what we do, but God does. David learned a very important lesson at early age of his time. He depended on God so he could kill the Goliath. Remember? David and the little dwarf guy, the Goliath? He killed him. How? Because he simply believed in God. He did not go after Goliath with his own strength, but he went after him with the power of Jehovah God. And he learned to wait upon God. Does it mean David is perfect? Absolutely not. We will see the many mistakes throughout the study of 2 Samuel. However, there's one thing we should take heed, we should learn from him, is he waited upon God. He didn't try to do the things by his own strength. He didn't try to make the things happen with his own strength. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David and Hebron, and spoken, saying, "Indeed, you are we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed the king David over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Hebron. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. After more than 7 years in the civil war, nation Israel united together under the name of the King David. Now they are entering to the great period of time when they expand beyond their own thought, imagination, and they prospered beyond their own imagination. He reigned for a total of 40 years. This is something important. There's something important for us to know. Did you notice that all tribes of Israel came to David? When? After Ish-bosheth died. It is a sad thing for these people to acknowledge God's will when they didn't have any option to choose from. Did you hear me? They came to King David when they didn't have any option to choose from. They realized, okay, this is God's will, so we might as well accept it. That's not a right thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. Same principle applies. Hold on. Excuse me. It is a sad thing, again, for the Christian, as a Christian, we try everything else, and when there's nothing else for us to do, then we come to Him. Guys, listen carefully. The first thing we should do is coming to Him. How many of you guys heard, well, the least I can do is pray? How many of you guys heard that? How many of you guys said that? I did before. I don't use that phrase anymore. The least you can do is not pray. The best you can do is pray. Did you get it? The best you can do. You are asking to God who created the entire universe with a word. You're problem is not a problem to him. My problem is not a problem to him. We make a big mountain out of molehill. If we bring it to him, he can take care of it according to his way. Another thing we have to understand is these elders of Israel received David's leadership. David, being a leader is very important position. Not because of prestige or privilege it comes with, but most of all, responsibility. Guys, husband, listen carefully, please. You are the head of the family. You are the priest of your family. Don't take that thing as a privilege. Take that as responsibility. You are called to be the head of the family. That means you are responsible for everything going on in your home. The leader must be, there's three things that we must understand about being a leader. Leader must belong to God's people in heritage and heart. Second thing is leader must demonstrate the capability to lead. And leader must have an evident call from God. If that person is not called by God as a leader, that person should not try to get into leadership. How many of you guys know that some of the manager you work for or your boss, that person is not just fit to be a leader. But they try to be a leader and most of the time they foul up. I'm sure you've seen that kind of people. Verse 6. And the king and his men went to the Jerusalem against the Jebusite and the inhabitant of the land, who spoke to David and saying, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you," thinking David can not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Now David said on that day, "Whoever climb up by the way of the water shaft and defeat the Jebusite, the lame and the blind, who are hated by the David soul, he shall be chief and captain." Therefore they said, "The blind and the lame shall not come into the house." Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the middle and inward. Then David went on and became great. And next phrase, please, on the line. The Lord God of hosts was with him. That's a very important portion. Notice the first move that David is making when he had a United Kingdom. He transferred the capital city from Hebron to Jerusalem. Why? There's two reasons I see it. Number one, Jerusalem is located right in the middle of between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Judah. And northern kingdom, Israel, with 11 tribes. So it's a good location to have a capital city. Second, it's defensively, it's a very good place to have. What I was told and what I was learning from the Jerusalem is it's sitting on the top of the high cliff, steep cliff all around in all three directions, east, south, and west, except the north has a little entrance. So it's easy for anyone to defend that place. David came to the place of greatness because God was with him. In God's plan, almost always hidden price of greatness. David didn't come to where he is without that time of difficulty, without time of that training. How long he had to wait? When was the time he was anointed as a king by Samuel? When he was 15. So for 15 years in the wilderness being chased by Saul, he was trained. He was trained to be a king. He was trained to be the leader. He was trained to be the warrior. So he can lead the country properly. God does not waste time. Remember, God does not waste the time of difficulty. God does not waste the time of trial. God does not waste time of test. He used those time to make us to be strong and more like Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Then Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent a messenger to David and the cedar trees and the carpenters and masons. They built David a house, so that David knew that, number one, next phrase please, the Lord has established him, that's number one, as a king over Israel, that he had Number two, exalt his kingdom. Number three is for the sake of his people Israel. David knew the three things that made his reign great. Number one is God called him and God established him as a king over Israel. God called him. That's a very important thing. Number two is that he knew that the kingdom belongs to God. God exalted his kingdom. It's not David's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. Third thing he knew is that God wanted to use him as a channel to bless Israeli people, God's people. For the sake of that, he was lifted up as a king. Okay, I want you to pay attention for what I said now. If you think that you are called to be a leader, which is a noble thing, and I hope that you all called to be a leader in one way or another. If you're called to be a leader, there is three things that we must realize from what we learn. It is God who called you. It is God who anointed you. It is God who designated you. And it is God who have everything and allowed you to use that thing to make it happen. Everything belongs to him. God called you, and God provides things for you, and for what? To bless the people around you. It's not necessarily for you, because God's going to use the other people to bless you. But who gets the glory? God gets the glory. So, if you think you are the leader, number one, you're not a leader because you're some special guy. You're a leader because God called you. And God provided everything for you. And third, God is using you as a channel to bless the people around you. And then you might say, when do I get blessed? While you bless other people, you get blessed. That's the best part of God's economy. While we bless other people, we get blessed. Verse 13. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from the Hebron. Also, more sons and daughters were born to David, and now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammah, Shobab, Nathan, on the line Nathan, on the line Solomon, please. Ibhah, Elishua, Nephag, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, Eliphelep. I did. Hey, how about that? I didn't follow up. Just because he has all these wives, that doesn't mean God put the stamp of approval on his polygamy. God hates polygamy. How do I know? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17 says, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. God designate Adam and Eve, not Adam and Mary and Jenny and whoever comes along. One man, one woman. Why? Because if there's more than one woman, there will be a trouble. Trust me. Two women don't get along well under the same roof. Like even mother and daughter. They don't get along well all the time. That's another reason why God said, when you get married, leave mom and dad. There's a reason for it. God knows what he's doing. I don't know much about other people, but I ask you on the line, Nathan and Solomon, I know those two. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, we find the lineage of Joseph. When you lineage of Joseph, you follow go all the way, and then you'll find in the middle somewhere, you'll find his forefather is Solomon. You follow me? One of David's sons. And when you look at the chapter 3 of the book of Luke, verse 31, and you follow the lineage of Mary, mother of Jesus, you follow back, you go up again, then you find Nathan is one of the forefathers of Mary. So they both came from a loyal family. That proves that Jesus Christ is entitled to be called Son of David. The prophecy fulfilled. So this is the reason why these four names are listed. A lot of times we think, oh, what do we want to know about these names? Most of the time we cannot pronounce. That's true, but there's a reason for it. Even though David was sensitive to God spiritually, but when it comes to his passion toward woman, he is not even a spiritual man. He's a spiritual dwarf. He cannot handle his passion. You know, guys know that the politician and warrior of Rome, Anthony Marcus. And his teacher, I believe he was Seneca, and said, you, Anthony, Marcus Anthony, the other way around, Marcus Anthony. Anyway, you can conquer the world, but yet you cannot conquer your passion for a woman. A lot of people, a lot of spiritual giants fall right into this passion. And that's why we see a lot of pastors fall. Go to the verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king of Israel, all the Israel went up and searched for David, and David heard of it, went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So the David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, or will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, and for I will doubtless deliver Philistine into your hand. So David went up to Baal Pezarim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemy before me, and like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Pezarim. Perazim. Why don't you guys correct me? And they, if that's the case, you have to correct me all the time, right? They left the image there, and David and his men carried them away. Their image means idol. All right. David seeked God, looked to him for guidance, and he was blessed. Because his complete dependence on God, God guided him to the promise of victory. I said this image is idol, and they brought this their own gods into the battlefield, thinking that this good luck charm will help them to win. Sounds familiar? In chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, remember the Israeli people did the exact same thing. They brought the Ark of Covenant into the battlefield, somehow thinking that Ark of God will make them to win. Guess what happened? They lost the battle, and they even lost the Ark of Covenant. Verse 22. Then Philistine went up and once again deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind and come upon them in front of a mulberry tree. And it shall be that when you hear the sound of marching in the top of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistine. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. He drove back the Philistine from the Geba as far as Gezer. God gave a victory to David once again. Why? Why did he pray again? He already won the victory. He won against the Philistine once. So, I mean, he had that thing done. Why does he go back to God and ask him again? This showed the humility of David. And this shows that David does not think God has a pattern. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a typical thing. As a man, as a woman of God, we can often make a pattern for what God does. Remember that Jesus healed the man who is blind? One time he touched the man's eyes, he healed. Second time, he spit something onto the mud and then put the mud on his eyes. Third time, what did he do? He spit on the guy's face. Wonder what he's thinking. The blind man. Okay, he cleared the throat. Now what is he going to do with that thing? However, see, we try to think that God we can put the God in the box or God in the pattern. Only person can be in the box is Jack. Jack in the box. Get it? It's okay. When he's going to fill in for me, I'll be gone. So he can say whatever you want to say, I'll be gone. See, we cannot put the God in the box or in the pattern. He will not be patterned by man. He is beyond that. Truth of the matter, actually doing that kind of thing is almost idolatry. Do you hear me? When you try to put the God in the pattern, that means you're trying to start to worship the pattern. So if you are thinking that you figure it out, you have a formula of God, then you're going to start to worship that formula. Whether you like it or not, you like to admit it or not, you're going to start doing that. That's no, guys. Don't waste your time on that thing. And don't think that I have such a brilliant plan and ask God to bless that plan. Let's make it clear, guys. We are not asking Him to join our project. We are asking Him to include us in His master plan. That's the right way to do. Throughout the David's reign, there never been a peace with Philistine. There is always fight. In my opinion, this Philistine throughout the Bible is like our fleshly desires. You have to constantly go back and suppress, otherwise this fleshly desire comes back and comes again and again. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says, I'll just read it to you. Take a look at it later. For what I'm doing, Apostle Paul is speaking, I do not understand what I will do too, and I do not practice what I do hate that I do. See, even Apostle Paul had to fight against his own fleshly desires. If he has a problem, do you think we have a problem? You can bet your life on that thing. So the only way we can fight against our fleshly desires is what Jesus said. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. Let's make an application. Number one, we should not depend on the ability or the promise of other men, but only God. We should not depend on the ability or promise of other men, but only God. When we are used to with someone or some program, it's easily take away our dependency on God. We need to depend on Him, not the person, nor the program, nor the pattern. We must depend on Him. God is always faithful. Second application, we must realize God is not the last resort or option in the midst of our difficult time. God is not the last resort or option in the midst of our difficult time. He is the only one we can actually depend on, and He's the one who can actually make a difference in our lives. Even if we lose everything, ladies and gentlemen, if we have Him, if we are on His side, we have everything we need. Even if we have nothing, if we are on His side, we have everything we need. Third application, if you feel that you are called to be a leader wherever God designates, you must take this fact into your heart. It is God who appoints you. It is God who owns everything you are leading. And it is God who is doing this for the people around you, through you. It is not about you. It is not about your glory. It's for His glory. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.